I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. And this week we have geeky stuff, and some not so geeky stuff, but mostly geeky stuff. Some of it's actually even a continuation of last week's geeky stuff, and I have my tablet in hand here to guide us on our journey through geekiness. Yes, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. But you knew that. Yes. And I encourage you to go check out all the Tech Podcast shows. If you haven't been to techpodcast.com lately, go over there and check out all the different categories of tech. There's more tech than you can shake a stick at. I don't know why you want to shake sticks. Whatever's your thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's dive into the items found at the amazing blog known as drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says here on the screen. That blog is your resource for all things geeky. Indeed. So, check it out. First item we have up this week is, what are the obstacles to HTML5 living up to its potential? Here's the thing about that. A lot of you say, what? What are you talking about HTML5? HTML5 is the new standard of HTML. And it's more than just how you code your web pages. It now will contain the ability to do many kinds of things, including applications. Basically, as we move toward a totally web-centric environment, our applications will even be HTML5 apps. Graphical, fully featured, all kinds of stuff going on, and it'll all be done across the web. You know what I just noticed? The pig is hiding. He's hiding back there. Behind my head. Maybe he's shy. The bird, however, is not. Where's the bird? Here's the bird. Tux. And the TARDIS is right there, just barely off camera. There you go. So the bird, he's a little more outgoing than the pig. Okay. Well, we got pulled off topic, didn't we? Yes, that happens occasionally. Anyway, the article here is, what are the obstacles to HTML5 living up to its potential? Well, the big thing that they say here is two major things. One is, there's not enough testing of HTML5 applications. There are some people beginning to dabble a bit with HTML5 applications, but things are coming down the road. I'm telling you, HTML5 is the future. You heard it here. Also, the other thing is browsers. Microsoft, being one of the chief culprits, don't fully support all of HTML5's potential. But it's also true of other browsers. So they're being very slow about implementing the true standards of HTML5, and therefore that slows down the applications that are being developed for HTML5. So, yeah. I'm frustrated by that because I'm really looking forward to the day when our apps will be in the cloud and there will be nothing to do physically with anything. It just all goes to the web, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I do, you know? I'm just a cloudy kind of a guy when it comes to the interwebs. As you saw at the beginning of the program, Citrix Systems and their product GoToMeeting is our sponsor this week. And I want to encourage you to check out this special deal for GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is the premier method of attending a meeting virtually across the internet. And I'd encourage you to check out this special deal, because now GoToMeeting comes with HD faces. You can use it on your PC. You can use it on your Mac. You can now use it on your iPad. So wherever you are, you've got an iPad, you're sitting there, you can actually join into a meeting and be part of a meeting virtually. You can display your screen, you can share information, you can collaborate, and that's what GoToMeeting is all about, is collaboration, sharing ideas, the synergy that comes from sharing your ideas together. And GoToMeeting is the perfect platform to do that on. So I'd encourage you to check out this special deal. As it says here on the banner, the code word is podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T. All you have to do is go to GoToMeeting.com and then click on the link there for the special 30-day trial and enter the code word podcast. You will get 30 days free opportunity to try the best meeting and collaboration software there is, and that's Citrix Systems GoToMeeting. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about what we did last time here on the Netcast, and that is we did a little quick overview of the installation of Ubuntu 12.10, the Quantel Quexel version. I actually saw that a Quexel is a little funny-looking, brightly colored bird. Very tiny. It's actually quite pretty. Yes. So check that out. Go to the web and look for Quexel, and you'll find this little bird. Anyway, point is, Ubuntu. Remember, during the demo, I made the statement that perhaps Kenickle, or however you pronounce it, had gone a bit too far with Ubuntu 12.10 because they added Amazon ads right into the Dash search results. Yes. Well, it turns out that others think that too, and they find it rather annoying. So I put in a blog entry here on, has Ubuntu gone too far? How to remove the Ubuntu Amazon ads from your system. So here's what you do in short. You go to a terminal session, which basically means you go to the heads up display to Dash and you type in terminal and it'll appear. You click it, it opens up a terminal session. Type in this, sudo, S-U-D-O, sudo, app-git, remove, unity-lens-shopping, and then it will come up, you hit return, it comes up, it'll ask you for your password, type in your password, and poof, the ads are gone. Yes, the great thing about Linux is you have full control of your system, and you can do what you will, no matter what they try to put in there. Know what I'm saying? Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Free Duplicate File Finder. Yes. Here's the thing. As you use your computer, it tends to get junked up with lots and lots of stuff. You know, and typically, if you're like most users, you will save files in one directory, and then you'll create another directory and save it in another directory. And before too long, you've got duplicate files all over your system. And you know what? They take up disk space. That's bad. So it's good to have a Geek Software of the Week tool, a free duplicate file finder. As the name implies, it's free. Yeah. There is a paid version. The paid version adds several features, not the least of which is the ability to run a report on what's on your hard drive, computer, network share, whatever, and then save it as a spreadsheet. Okay? Actually, as a .csv file, which you can then pull in as a spreadsheet, which is a useful feature, you know. But the free duplicate file finder, for most folks, all you want to do is find your duplicate files, confirm that they are indeed truly duplicates, and then get rid of the duplicate to free up disk space. It also even tells you how much disk space it will be that will be freed up if you get rid of all the duplicates, which is a pretty handy thing. That's in the free version as well. So, you can identify and recover wasted disk space. You can reduce the time and media used for backups. Important point. You can minimize time used for unneeded virus scanning. See, there you go. That's an important one. Increase free space on limited resources such as laptops and memory disk. Reduced file search time. Duplicate file remover. To eliminate synchronization problems. And runs more quickly than others in its class. It's very safe and reliable. And I have found that to be true. So, this is a big recommendation thumbs up for this week's Geek Software of the Week free duplicate file finder. You know, here's the thing about Geek Software of the Week. It's hard to find a free software file or a useful software utility or something every single week. I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you do it? Whoa, it's a lot of trouble. But every so often, and you know, and a lot of times they're just kind of, they're okay. You know what I'm saying? But every so often there's one that's really, truly handy, and this is one of them. So I'd encourage you to check it out. It's really cool. All right, let's talk about something that you may or may not find interesting. Actually, what you might find interesting is the fact that I'm even talking about it. Because I'm not known to be a Microsoft fanboy. That's basically a very much of an understatement. Normally, I'm giving Microsoft grief every time I turn around. Okay? Hey. But here, I will say this. Microsoft, as they used to say, one of the routines I've heard many times, Microsoft has been very good to me, Howard. You know, Howard Cosell used to interview like the boxers or whatever, and they would say, boxing has been very good to me, Howard, as they're punch drunk, you know. Well, Microsoft's been pretty good to me. I mean, I've been gainfully employed for many, many years doing Microsoft support. So, you know, you say, well, Dr. Bill, why do you give them such a hard time? Because they're Microsoft. You figure it out. Anyway, point is, typically, Microsoft Windows upgrades have been painful. They've been expensive. They've been problematic. And they usually run into driver issues that make you want to pull your hair out. Okay? So, a lot of times I tell people don't bother upgrading for a long time until they get all the bugs worked out. And manufacturers come up with drivers that support it and all those kinds of things. Well, this time, amazingly enough, Dr. Bill is recommending you go ahead and upgrade. If you're going to upgrade at all, go ahead and upgrade now. And there's a reason. Not just because I want to line Microsoft's pockets with money. No, that's certainly not the case. You know, I'm a big proponent of open source and freeness. Freedom and freeness. Anyway, no, the reason is they've got a pretty good deal going right now. And the deal is this. You can download a very small little file, which is their upgrade checker widget thing. And from that file, it will tell you if your system will have issues, if there's hardware issues, if there's contentious drivers, you know, all those kinds of things. But if you run it and it works well, it will come up and say, you can upgrade. And by the way, if you'll click this button and pay me $39.99, I will go ahead and upgrade you not to just Windows 8, but to Windows 8 Pro. Pretty good. That's normally the more expensive version. Okay? So $39.99. Not bad. So I did that. I actually did that. And here's what happened. It went well. That's amazing. It gave me two notices. One was that my video driver control doohickey had a little bit of an issue and said, after you get through with the install, you can try to upgrade it and see if that works for you. Then the other thing was, it says, I need to uninstall Microsoft Security Essentials. And of course, what they didn't go ahead and tell you is that Microsoft Defender, the new version of Microsoft Security software, which protects you against viruses and malware, that would be installed as part of Windows 8. So, you know, I thought I'd have to go download a new version or something, but it actually put it right into the installation. So that was pretty cool. So then I went through the installation and it was like, click, click, click. No issues. It preserved all my settings. It preserved all my files and customizations. And it just worked. What's up with that? I mean, whoa. So anyway, I've got now a little demo that I did of my new HP EliteBook laptop running Windows 8. So let's take a look at that right now.
All right, here we are with the new Windows 8 that I installed on my laptop. And it's actually quite interesting. If you go through all of my tiles here, you'll see some of the things I've chosen to install, like Kindle and TuneIn Radio, the YouTube player, Netflix, hook up to my SkyDrive, different things that I've set up. I've got other applications here. Now, what I did is I upgraded directly from Windows 7 Professional to Windows 8 Professional by purchasing the $39.99 upgrade and using their upgrade wizard. Went very smoothly. I was very impressed with that. The only other thing I did beyond, you know, tweaking a few things here and there is I did install the classic shell. And I'll show you why here in just a minute. Now, if you, we'll go back to our main tile screen here. If you want to go to the charms, you go down here to the corner, the charms appear over here, and you can see, as I've shown you before, when we looked at Windows 7 on a virtual machine, you have your charms here. You can go to your start menu, check out your devices, several things over here. And on the start screen, one of the items here is desktop. If I click desktop, then here is my Windows desktop. Now, the big thing you'll notice different from a typical Windows 8 install is the classic shell down here. I have an orb with a start button. That does not appear. As a matter of fact, it's just gone from Windows 8. Now, classic shell gives me the ability to essentially have what I'm used to in Windows 7, all the different settings and options here, most recently used programs. The programs here, you notice my background screen changing automatically there. I've been playing with some of the personalizing features of it. But basically, I had one warning as I was doing an install that one of my video control programs that came with the video card that is in this laptop was not compatible. But that wasn't a problem because the driver that came with Windows 8 works well with my video card. So that really wasn't a problem. The other thing that I had to do is I had to uninstall as part of the installation. It took care of it for me. I had to uninstall the Microsoft Security Essentials, and we're now using the Windows Defender, which is the name for their antivirus and anti-malware program. Anti-malware, hard to say, program. And notice classic icons here. I can choose the icons. I can choose how the settings are displayed with classic shell. Really like classic shell. It's pretty neat. The other thing I can do here, of course, is go to kind of what we're used to in terms of Windows 7. The thing I wanted to look at here was the options that we have, the security options and so forth that are available, including Windows Defender. Overall, I've been pretty pleased. The things that I really like about Windows 7, I've been able to keep. Go back to the charms here and go back to the start menu. And this is not too bad. Even the built-in Windows Mail, which I tied into my regular IMAP account, not too bad. My social networking, like Facebook, shows up here. Even the weather, which is kind of interesting. The weird thing about the weather, it shows that I'm in Winston-Salem. I turned on the location feature, and since I'm outside of High Point, I have a High Point address, but I'm on a road that is toward Wahlberg, which is, I guess, technically more or less a suburb of Winston-Salem. Not a suburb exactly, it's a separate town, but for some reason it thinks I'm in the Winston-Salem area. Not so bad. It's basically giving me the weather for this area, so I don't care so much, but I thought that was kind of interesting. This screen isn't so bad. You know, I don't know that I would use it on a regular basis. Most of the time I just go straight to the desktop and I'm using the desktop. But everything is pretty much where I would expect it to be. I've got Dropbox set up. I've got SkyDrive set up. All in all, it's been pretty good. The big thing is classic shell. Wow. This gives me a shutdown button. It gives me all the options I'm used to. Really, really nice. So, believe me, you will save yourself some headaches if when you go to Windows 8, if you go to Windows 8, then go ahead and install Classic Shell. And it has tons of options. You can check for updates. You can do your settings, change your Classic Explorer settings. That actually is a good point. Internet Explorer 8, for Windows 8, I should say, is actually Internet Explorer 10. I thought that was interesting. It's very clean. Of course, it comes up at MSN by default. You know, okay, not so bad. You can click up here and add the menu bar in and other options, even your favorites bar. You know, I added them in, but then I took them away because I kind of like the clean look. Not like I'm going to be using Internet Explorer anyway. I've still got Google Chrome. I've got Firefox and I've got Opera. They all work well. You know, I got to give Microsoft some creds here. You know, it's not often I do that, but it is a very simple install. It went very smoothly. I'm not as shocked in terms of using it day in and day out. I've used it now for quite a while and played with a lot of different things. All of the programs that I normally use as an individual, you know, day in and day out, work. It's one of the smoother installs of a new operating system that I've done. And the other thing I want to show you here is the store. You go into the Microsoft App Store. This is where I got my Netflix and different things. But they have games including Angry Birds Space. Can't go wrong with Angry Birds Space. The Fruit Ninja. They're fairly inexpensive. Bunches of other stuff. One of the things they do have is they do have, and this is their spotlight, but they also have free, these are the top free apps. Some of them are not bad, like Netflix and Kindle. You know, there's quite a few in there that I chose for myself. I mean, free is free. The SkyDrive widget, the clock, some of the things that I picked up. And they're not bad, really. So I'm getting used to the idea of using the charms over here and being able to come back. See, here's my clock widget, my Netflix widget. the YouTube player, TuneIn Radio, where I listen to my internet radio stations, and Kindle. Pretty slick. So this is Windows 8. It's here. It's official. It's out. The main reason to upgrade, a lot of people say, well, why would I upgrade from Windows 7? Well, the main reason is going to be the fact that as time goes by, Windows 7 will be phased out in terms of security. They won't be doing security patches. Now, it'll be a while before that happens, but it's always good to go ahead and upgrade. And the thing about this is, for a limited time, you can upgrade for $39.99. Like I said, it went very smoothly for me to Windows Pro, not just plain Windows, but Windows Pro. And if you fill out a form on their webpage, which I have a link to in the blog at drbill.tv, fill out a form, send them your email address. They claim that within 24 hours, now I haven't received it yet, but within 24 hours you'll receive a code string to enter the code to get the Windows Media Center. So you think about this, it's Windows 8 Pro with the Media Center, essentially for the $39.99. Now I did go ahead and pay the extra $17 or so to get the media that they're going to mail me, a physical, DVD with the media, since I purchased it, because you know me, I'm going to want to uninstall, reinstall, that kind of thing as time goes by. But it transferred all my settings. All in all, looking pretty good. So, me and Microsoft, we don't have such a good relationship sometimes. But for this particular upgrade, I got to give them unbelievably a thumbs up. So if you are a Windows user at all, you probably ought to go ahead and do this upgrade, and I would say go ahead and do it before January 31st, which of course is what Microsoft is enticing you to do, to get their market share up. And there are a lot of people that are probably going to be switching to Ubuntu or some other Linux and so forth, but I gotta say, not so bad.
So there you go, Windows 8. How amazing is that? I mean, two amazing things. One, it went well. And two, I did it in the first place. I even posted them on Facebook. I said, guess what? I actually upgraded to Windows 8. And everybody went, what? It was an interesting little thing there going about that. So you might want to go check that out on my Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/Dr. Bill Bailey. That's where I am on Facebook. So, here's the other thing about this, and this is the next item. So you can upgrade to Windows 8 Professional for $39.99. Then, once you upgrade, you can go to this special link right here, which I'll put up on the screen. It's actually a fairly long link. Windows.microsoft.com, EN-US for English US, Windows-8/feature-packs, right here. You go to that link. And for a limited time, until January 31st, 2013, so basically this one quarter that we have coming up here, you can enter your email address, click the little button there, and it will register you for a free Windows Media Center. So now we're talking, for the $39.99, you get Windows Pro and you get Windows Media Center through this special offer if you do it before January 31st. Don't come talking to me on February the 1st and say, oh, I can't get it now. I told you. Okay. So anyway, they're supposed to send me the official little code that I can then plug into Windows 8 Pro and it will give me the Media Center. It'll have instructions. Haven't gotten that email yet. I'm checking my spam filter to make sure that I still, get that. But if that goes well, and I'll let you know, that'll be pretty impressive. I gotta admit. Plus, I went ahead and got the actual hard official media the DVD. They're going to ship that to me so that if I ever wipe my laptop and start over, I can start over with a fresh, clean install. So that's pretty good, I got to admit. So amazing, isn't it? It's amazing on so many levels. Not the least of which is that I even did the upgrade in the first place. But you know, I was in an upgrade-y kind of mood. Plus, I got to play with the new tech, as you saw. And it was actually, pretty cool. So, let's do a geek wisdom. The secret teachings of nerd culture. I don't particularly care for the term nerd. More of a geek. But that's just a personal preference. All right, here's this week's geek culture moment. The Force will be with you always. Spoken by Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. Now, here's what he says in the book about that particular quote. We're born alone. We die alone. And we spend our entire lives trying not to be alone. However, that need manifests whether physical companionship or comfort from the divine. It's something Ben Kenobi spoke when issuing his valediction to Luke Skywalker. And it's something George Lucas understood when creating Star Wars in 1977. With the Force, the mystical energy field that serves as the spiritual underpinning of his entire fictional universe, quoth Kenobi, it surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. Lucas created a catch-all upon which audiences, religious and irreligious, could hang their respective beliefs without shouldering anyone out. I tried to read that as smoldering. Didn't work. Shouldering anyone out. Of course, that was before the Phantom Menace tried to tell us that the Force was parasites in our bloodstream, making it the intergalactic equivalent of ringworm. We didn't take that bit of exposition very happily, did we? No. The fourth. May the fourth be with you. Yes, that was a joke about the 4th of July. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. Okay. No, the Force withstands any such attempts to ground it explicitly in science because it transcends reason and speaks to something more fundamental about human nature, our desire to hold on to something bigger than ourselves. And now for the fine print. In the same breath that The Phantom Menace 1999 gave us a gimmick to scientify up the Force, Lucas revealed that these very midichlorians meant Darth Vader was a virgin birth, just like the story of Jesus. Has there ever been a ballsier attempt to have something both ways? Reminds me of an episode of Stargate, where they were talking about somebody that had been born in a virgin birth scenario. And Teal'c, who had been watching TV, said, "You mean like Darth Vader?" To which the team looked at him puzzled and said, "Really?" Right. Well, anyway. Strange little midichlorians in your bloodstream. No, I'm with the guy on that. I did not find that too exciting. Know what I'm saying? Gonna shut the old tablet down now. Power off. I really mean to power off. There you go. And it's. That means, of course, it's time for us to sail off into the sunset. Actually, we don't sail. This is my office. There's no sails here. Anyway, join us next time. Remember, until then, too. Remember. to be geeky, actually. The thing about it is, see, I happen to know that there are several of you out there. I'm just going to be very straight with you here. Several of you out there that you watch all of my different netcasts. And particularly one gentleman in particular, Mike Johnson. Hi, Mike. He and I used to work together at the county. Mike likes to give me a hard time when I make a little misstep slip like that. And he says, you were about to say, remember to fulfill the word of God, because that's what you say when you do your word of faith netcast instead of the doctor is out of here. He's right. So, you know, it's the thing about doing so many netcasts. Your brain is thinking about so many different things. So, the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.